Oh, really? Okay, so you're just going to edit it later.
Yeah, yeah, just like edit the beginning part.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, first episode.
Yeah.
Brokios.
Brokios, two bros in Tokyo.
Two bros in Tokyo.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so I guess that's the name we're settling with for now.
Yeah. Should one of us, like, try to introduce the podcast?
Yeah. Yeah, so this is originally your brainchild, so...
Yeah, I guess
you
so.
You should tell us what is this podcast? What are we doing here?
Okay, so I had this idea for a podcast because I just think that living in Japan is a really cool and, like, fortunate thing that I've been able to do.
Yeah.
And I know that Japan is, like, increasingly popular in the West as well. Like, I know a lot of people, not just other foreigners who live here now, but a lot of people who have expressed interest to me about, you know, living in Japan one day maybe, or just who are really fascinated to hear what it's like to live here as a foreigner.
For sure.
And I know, you know, you've had a similar experience here.
Yeah.
And I thought we could offer entertainment as well as useful information to people who are curious about the same things.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really hard, you know, like you know, a lot of people talk about like, I want to go to Japan. I want to visit. I want to go there to stay. I want to live there for a little bit. And people, like, they hear, like, bits and pieces, but they don't really know what everything involves, and it becomes, like, so daunting and scary, and honestly, it's just about getting here.
Yeah.
So, and eventually you figure things out on your own, but, you know, for those people, I guess, who want to kind of get at least a kind of breakdown or just, you know, realize that it's not so scary, they can hear from us first. And you know. But basically, this first episode, we're just going to be introducing ourselves, mm-hmm. talking about who we are, where we're from, and how we got here. Mm-hmm. And I think the rest of the episodes from now on, we're just kind of going to be hopefully giving you some tidbits of information and some cultural stuff. You know, maybe we'll talk about food in the future.
Definitely food.
Yeah. Oh man, definitely there's so food. Much to talk about for food.
Hell yeah.
And then we'll talk about like, you know, what, you know, cool things to do like onsen and, you know, sento kind of things, or, you know, going to temples, or the nightlife, or even the hard things like, you know, whatever. But for now, I think it's really important for you guys to feel comfortable with us.
Yeah, just like introduce the podcast and who we are, right?
Absolutely.
Like you were saying. So I guess, I mean, I can go first, or do you
want to... Yeah, man, okay. No, go ahead. Yeah, so like how exactly, like what was your first introduction? I think our first introduction to Japan was pretty much the same thing as most other people.
Yeah, yeah. In terms of like watching Dragon Ball Z as a kid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's not why we're here.
Right. Yeah, that's honestly, that's exactly how I describe it to people. Like whenever I give sort of the longer answer.
Yeah.
The short answer I always give when people ask, like, why are you in Japan? You know, like other Japanese people or other foreigners. Whenever I get asked that, I say like, oh, I came here for grad school and then I ended up staying to work.
Yeah.
Which is true, but that's the short version. If I were to give a longer answer, I would say like, you know, I think like the real way I ended up here starts with this class I took in college, a Japanese literature class. But if I didn't mention like the Saturday mornings watching Dragon Ball Z and Pokemon and stuff, it wouldn't be honest because like basically I'm just going to tell my story. Yeah.
Go ahead.
When I was a college sophomore, I was at the University of Michigan, and I was really not into college. My whole freshman year was like, it was fun. I had fun, but I was really close to dropping out at one point. I was not digging college, and I didn't have like a direction. I didn't know what I wanted to study, and my mom was not happy that I was thinking about dropping out of college. So she was like looking all over like the different departments at my school, like their websites, and trying to find something that might interest me.
Dedicated mom.
Yeah, no, well, my mom's like super overbearing Jewish mother, and I love her, but yeah, she was involved. So she found this thing on the like Department for International Studies or Asian Studies. She saw a class being advertised about Japanese literature.
Yeah.
And it was a class where you could get like a few credits just from taking the class, and then you could get a couple more credits if you were accepted to go to this like extension where we went to Japan basically for 3 weeks and studied literature at Waseda University, which is where I ended up coming for grad school.
Yeah, that's a Japanese school over here in Japan.
Yeah, and we're
it's like a pretty big one too in Tokyo.
Yeah, yeah, it's considered one of like the top universities technically. People abroad probably don't know about it, but my school had like a partnership with it.
Okay.
So
and actually a lot of universities in America do have those kind of partnerships where you can connect not just in Japan but like other countries. So like,
yeah,
you know, like my school has connections out here in Tokyo also, but
right,
not only in Tokyo but also in Italy.
Yeah.
You know? So you never know what kind of connections your school might have.
Like study abroad partnerships.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's what it ended up being for me. It's like we had this partnership where, you know, like I said, we did the extension after the semester was over.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, I was accepted to that program. I guess I sort of fell in love with Japanese literature and all of a sudden I felt like I was really enjoying school.
Yeah.
And then I went to Tokyo for the first time, summer of 2014, with my class and my professor, Jonathan Zwicker.
Shout out to Jonathan Swinton.
Yeah, no, he's the man. He teaches at UC Berkeley now.
Okay.
If anybody wants to look him up, he's a cool guy. But he took me and my classmates to Tokyo. I had like the time of my life. I loved it. I spoke no Japanese at the time, but I basically am prefacing how I ended up here with all of that to say that my interest in Japan started with like an academic interest.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, yeah, from that point on, I basically focused my entire college career on Japanese studies. I started getting into Japanese history, and eventually my senior year, I finally started learning the language. But the following summer, I took a class about Japanese environmental studies and came back to Tokyo 2015 with a different professor, Leslie Pincus.
Shouts out.
Yeah, shouts out. And that was a really great time too. Also partnered through Waseda University.
Nice.
Fast forward to I'm about to graduate college.
Undergrad, right?
Yeah, undergrad. I'm bartending at a place called Rick's American Cafe. It's called that because it's named after a place in the movie Casablanca, but it was okay. It was just like a shitty underground like dive bar kind of place. And I was sort of content to just keep bartending. I hadn't like landed any jobs for post-graduation. Yeah. But my professor, Jonathan Zwicker, who I mentioned, he nominated me for a scholarship.
Wow.
Called...
That's awesome.
Yeah, through this foundation called the Ito Foundation.
Okay.
Because University of Michigan had a partnership with them as well. Wow. Basically, it was a scholarship to come out here and do a free master's degree.
Free?
Yeah, damn, like fully paid for at any Japanese university I wanted. And I guess they just have connections like that. And I did not expect to get this scholarship, but he nominated me and I got it. So my parents were like, well, you're going to do that. Like, you're not just going to keep bartending, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to go get this master's degree for free because, like, that's a much better option. Dude. Yeah, so I did that. Came out to Japan. Did 2 years of grad school. When I was about to finish grad school, I thought I was going to move back to the States. I was looking at getting this, like, sales job at a tech company in San Francisco.
Okay.
And then but I had a lot of misgivings about it. Ended up staying another year in Japan because I got accepted to this like advanced language program. So that was last year, like last school year, 2018 through 2019. I was at the IUC. It's the Inter University Center in Yokohama. It's administered by Stanford. And basically this was just another opportunity that I was really lucky to get accepted to and also fully paid for.
Wow.
So that's what I spent my first 3 years in Japan doing. It was like as a student.
Yeah.
And it was a great time. And I thankfully was able to get really good at Japanese and ended up landing a job. And that's what I do here now is I work at a bilingual PR firm, doing like corporate comms and translation and media relations for Western and Japanese clients.
Wow.
And, I would say that's like how I ended up here and what I do here.
Yeah. That's a pretty comprehensive breakdown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That's pretty wild. I mean, and I feel like you know, you can tell that story to different people and be like, oh man, you know, he just got lucky.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, yeah. I mean, honestly, like, that's what I've noticed, you know, like people, like, foreigners come here in Japan, they find jobs or they find opportunities here, like, oh, man, I just got lucky.
Yeah.
But, you know, luck is when preparation meets opportunity.
Yeah,
right?
I like that expression.
You know?
Yeah.
And a lot of people say they get lucky, but they only got lucky because they put themselves out there.
Right.
Right? And so the only reason you're able to come to Japan in the first place is, or get that opportunity for the master's programs because you did that first one semester study abroad thing and then kind of dominoes started falling.
Yeah, one thing led to another, and I think that's a good thing to impress upon anyone who might listen to this and is like interested in coming to Japan. Whether they're a student or not, it's like there are opportunities, whether it's professionally or academically. Like if you are a student, you should definitely look into your university having like a study abroad program or something. But yeah, there's tons of ways to come here.
So in that like first semester, that one study abroad, what made you fall in love with Japan? Like, what's the reason that you're like you made you want to stay? Like, and like an overarching, like, this is not, I'm sure, like, obviously, your introduction to it was like, you know, animation or anime or whatever. I mean, that's like everybody's introduction to it. And obviously, like we said, you know, that's not the reason you're here, but you end up staying for a different reason. What would you say is your reason for being want to be here?
Well, that first summer I came here in 2014, I said like I fell in love with Japan. But I think at that point it was still very much like an academic passion. Like I'd fallen in love as like an observer of Japan, but I didn't have any idea that I would actually live here like 2 years later. But I was really lucky in terms of having some great experiences. Like I had fun with my classmates just experiencing this crazy new place and also having the guidance of my professor who, you know, was a Japan expert and was able to explain things to me. So it wasn't as like voyeuristic and just like fetishizing, like, oh, look how crazy everything is. Like he had a lot of really deep insights and was able to explain things that we were experiencing, and
Absolutely.
that made it a very interesting trip. But also, I guess this was probably going to come up sooner or later. You know, you and I both do Brazilian jiu-jitsu,
Yeah, I mean, why not in
and
the first 10 minutes, then,
and that's how we
then
met.
10 episodes deep,
And so I was already practicing jiu-jitsu when I came here in 2014. I was a blue belt at the time, I think. Blue belt. And I posted on Facebook when I was getting ready to come here with the class. To all my friends I knew who did jiu-jitsu in like Michigan and Colorado and Florida, whatever. Like, does anybody know a place to train in Tokyo? Because I wanted to train while I was here. And this girl, Jennifer Perez, who I knew from Easton in Colorado, she connected me with a friend of mine, Takeji Yokoyama, who he actually just this last year won the black belt division
Oh, wow.
for, I think it's light feather,
Oh, sick.
like Japanese championships. He's like solid competitor. They have an academy out in Gakuge Daigaku called Swells, him and his family. Anyway, she connected me with him. He was also a blue belt at the time. And I went to Paraestra Academy in Shibuya where he was training because he was like interested to talk to a foreigner and he was like willing to take me under his wing. And
Oh, that's
I
dope.
formed this awesome friendship with this Japanese person. Like, and I think I was really lucky because other people on my trip were not able to necessarily form real connections with Japanese people while they were here. They were just sort of like foreigners who were here studying, and I was going off at night and training with this kid. And by the end of the 3 weeks we were here, I was invited to come to his home and like have dinner at his house. And his mom made temaki sushi. Like we had like hand rolled sushi party and karaage fried chicken, and it was just like a really touching and profound experience.
I can totally relate. I have a similar experience.
Yeah, let's hear about it.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, I guess my kind of origin story about being in Japan,
Yeah.
like, as you know, same thing.
Go deep,
You
man.
know, I was a kid, grew up loving Japanese culture, you know, anime or whatever, but I didn't really know any Japanese people growing up
Me
in
neither.
Atlanta, because I'm from Atlanta. So like in Atlanta, there's not really that many Japanese people. I mean, they have like a Japan Society of Georgia or whatever over there, but most people there were Korean or Chinese or Vietnamese. Those are all kind of people I know growing up. But I think so. One time, I used to work at IHOP. I used to be a server.
Oh, nice. I didn't know
So
that.
yeah, actually, yeah, I think you had, yeah. So yeah, I used to work at IHOP as a server. I was there for maybe like a year and a half.
Okay.
And then one day, I think this was like my first semester of college. Like it was a community college. I had just finished my first semester, and that first semester, I took a semester of Japanese.
Oh,
Like
nice.
basic Japanese, like konnichiwa, konbanwa, oyasumi, you know, sai, whatever, just kind of
Japanese
like,
one.
yeah, Japanese one. And so like I knew like some basic like ichi, ni, san, shi, whatever, one, two, three, go. And then so I could, now I could like, I could hear Japanese, I can distinguish between what's Japanese and, you know, what's Korean or what's Chinese. I'm like, I know what that is. So one day I'm at work, and I hear this, overhear this table, like these people, these guests that come into the restaurant, and they're speaking Japanese, because I heard like them say like some Japanese numbers or whatever. I'm like, I listened a little more, and then I walked up to them. I said, "Are you guys speaking Japanese?" And they're like, "Yeah. How'd you know?"
Cool.
And then I started talking to them, and, you know, I got a little close with them, like, that little session or whatever. And then there would be times where they'd come back to the restaurant, and I'd talk to them and hang out and whatever. And
so there were Japanese people living in Atlanta?
Yeah. So, like, actually, it was a Japanese wife, American husband, and then their two daughters.
Okay.
So, like, they're mixed daughters.
So they were, like, raising bilingual kids. And,
yeah. Their kids are more American than Japanese, though.
Right.
But, yeah, so they were super nice, and I would talk to them whenever they came into IHOP, and eventually I got around to telling them, like, hey, I'm going to Tokyo, I'm going to Japan, sorry, I'm going to Japan by myself for 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, how did that happen?
Okay, so I guess the summer before I went to university, went to Japan. I went to Tokyo for 5 days with my mom and my sister.
Okay.
Because my mom used to work for Delta.
Right.
So my mom used to work for Delta, and one day she was like, Ramsey, I have a week off of work in 2 weeks. Do you want to go to Japan?
Yeah.
I was like, hell yeah. So I went to Japan for 5 days with my mom and my sister that time before I started working at IHOP, before I went to university. So I went to Japan. That was my introduction to Japan. Those 5 days in Tokyo with my mom and my sister.
Yeah.
And then I had the Japanese class in university, and then I met the Japanese family, Japanese American family, and I really wanted to go back, but I really wanted to go by myself.
Okay.
And I wanted to experience Japan for myself. I wanted to stay a little longer. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go to some other cities besides Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
So after talking to this Japanese family for a while, I asked them one day, like, hey, so I'm going to Japan for a couple weeks next summer,
mm-hmm.
or this coming summer. Do you guys have any tips about, you know, anything that I can, you know, ideas of what I can do, or things I should do, or whatever, or any, like, just tips about, like, safety or whatever.
To get, like, a more authentic experience.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of, yeah. Like, do you have any, like, option, any things you think I should do? And they were like, she thought about it for a second. She was like, you know, since you're going to Japan for a couple weeks, you can stay with my parents if you like.
Oh, wow. I never heard this story.
Yeah. I haven't told you. Yeah. That's why I was, like, kind of excited, because you haven't
heard it. Yeah, this is cool. She had a homestay.
So she said, like, you can stay with my parents if you like for a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you sure? That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
And so, like, and what's so amazing about the family is, like, the first time that I was going to go meet up with, like, the first time I was going to meet up with the Japanese wife, her name's Asako.
Okay.
Yeah, her name's Asako.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I should say people's names on here.
You didn't say her last name, it's fine.
Yeah, okay. Anyways, her name's Asako. So the first time I was supposed to go meet up with Asako, outside of being at the restaurant.
Yeah.
I overslept and I missed it.
Oh, man.
Our appointment.
Yeah.
And I felt so bad because she was sitting at the Starbucks waiting for me. And then I asked, and then she said, we can just reschedule.
Yeah.
And I felt, it was such an important meeting, and it, like, it would dictate, like, everything.
Yeah.
But she was so, you know, understanding and accepting, and then met up another time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was just kind of stupid.
No, there's something interesting to be said about that. Just, like,
exactly.
The fact that she was saying, like, you guys barely knew each other.
Yeah.
And she's like, you can stay at my parents' house.
Yeah.
I think that's... brings up a good point about Japanese omotenashi,
like
Japanese hospitality. Like,
absolutely.
Obviously, I hate generalized statements, and not every Japanese person is the nicest person ever.
Absolutely.
But there is something to be said about Japanese hospitality, right?
Like, absolutely.
And the fact that she was willing to let you stay with her parents, like, introduce you to them, that's crazy.
And then I missed the first appointment that I was supposed to have.
And that feels shitty, right?
I felt so shitty. Yeah. And then, like, because I missed that, and then she was still willing to allow me, even though I had only, like, seen her at the restaurant, like, 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
Like, over a course of, like, months.
You're like, I can't fuck this up.
Yeah, like, I messed it up, man. I really did the first meeting. So we met up a second time, and we talked for a little bit, and we talked about logistics and whatever. So I went, that summer, I went to come to Japan. I went to Tokyo. I went to Kobe, and I went to Osaka. I went to Tokyo, Kyoto, and Osaka.
Nice.
Those are the three places I went to.
Yeah.
And I had my own experience, like, in those different cities.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a blast.
Very different places. Yeah.
Very different. Yeah. And I had such a blast in every different city. And those are stories for another time. But when I was in Tokyo, I stayed with her parents, Asako's parents, mm-hmm. in Saitama.
Okay.
And I stayed with them for like 5 days, and they treated me. They took me out, took me to a restaurant.
Wow.
You know, treated me nice. And then, you know, I left. And then I left Japan after a 2 week trip. And I went back home, and they would send me letters. Wow. And I would send them letters back, and they would send me gifts and letters.
That's awesome.
And I would send them a gift and a letter, and then whatever.
So cool.
And it was just, it was such a surreal experience. I had never experienced such hospitality, especially for someone who was such a stranger.
Yeah.
And I felt so lucky and so blessed to be presented this opportunity, right?
Yeah.
To be able to have this family that would hold me so close to me.
Yeah. And you initially met as strangers.
Yeah. And I initially met, they were my, you know, they were, I don't even, yeah, they were my customers at IHOP. I was their server.
That's so cool. And it started at IHOP, man. Like, fucking of all places.
Man. Yeah. And I still, to this, like every couple months, I go visit her parents.
That's awesome.
In Saitama.
So they're pretty old then.
They're quite old. They're like in their 70s.
But they're pretty genki. Like, I'm assuming
they're super genki.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, they are probably the coolest grandparents. Like, I talk about them to other Japanese people, and they're like, those are interesting people.
Yeah, because, I mean, maybe some people who are going to listen to this don't know, and maybe it's not that shocking, but, like, Japanese people, especially the older generation, and I think this is similar to older generations in any culture, like, they're typically a little less likely to put themselves out there with, like, foreigners and, you know, like, they might be more likely than the younger generation to be, like, on guard, and it's just, it says a lot that they were willing to take you in like that.
Yeah, and I'm always so grateful for everything that they've done for me and they've provided for me. You know, they've given me gifts, given me food, they've given me money.
Yeah.
And but it just says a lot about what the, you know, even though that's not how every Japanese person is.
Yeah.
It says a lot about their culture and about the family themselves.
Yeah.
And so I was definitely super blessed to be able to meet them. So whenever I'm in Atlanta, I hang out with the family and I go to like their birthdays or and hang out there. And then they're coming here in June and May. And so I'm going to hang out with them when they're over here.
Hell yeah.
So
I'd love to meet them.
Yeah, dude. I'd love for you to meet them if you can.
Yeah.
But after the 2 weeks of being here, I went back home and I continued community college. And then the next summer I came back again, this time for a month.
Okay.
And this time with, some classmates of mine from we had the same Japanese class.
Right.
And so we like, oh, we should all go together. So we went for a month and we went to Tokyo, Kobe, Osaka, Kyoto.
Nice. And so you hit the major cities.
Yeah. We hit like the major cities.
Yeah.
But this time it was for a month.
Right.
And it was super fun. We had a great time. So, and then the next year I came back again, but this time it was to move here.
Yeah.
So I had, in order for me to get to that process, I finished community college. I graduated. I got my certificate for my associate degree. And then, before I graduated, there was like a booth inside of my, community college that it was for Temple University.
Right.
And they were advertising for their campus in Japan.
Yeah. And that's where you are now, right?
You're
a Temple student. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a Temple University student right now.
And Temple's originally Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they have a campus over there.
Yeah.
They have a campus here in Tokyo and they have a campus in Rome, Italy.
Okay.
And I heard about that and I was like, oh, I got to apply for it. So
yeah.
I applied for it. And it was like kind of extensive thing. You know, I just basically had to, my GPA is kind of shit. Like it's pretty bad.
At the time is bad.
Yeah. Even now.
Whatever. As long as you get the degree.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's okay. It's not quite a 3.0, but it's
not the grades you make. It's the hands you shake.
Yeah, exactly.
Something I heard a while ago.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I'm all about like learning about in school.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you just study for tests, sometimes you don't even end up learning.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's a whole other conversation,
yeah.
But I totally agree with you. Like it's really not about the grades you make.
Yeah. But yeah. So like I applied for it. I had to get like one of the coordinators and the office for my school. I had him write a teacher recommendation for me.
Nice.
And, he was like an English teacher and he was also super in love with Japanese culture. And he had he had a Japanese club that he made and
nice.
He had like things inside his room. He'd been to Japan before and he loves it. And so he was super excited to help me. And I'm super blessed to have, you know, Professor Kendrick, you know, be able to,
Kendrick Lamar.
Professor Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, yeah, dude. Good professor.
Yeah. And so he wrote me a recommendation letter, and then it looked pretty good. And I personal statement, and then I flew over here to Japan and Tokyo.
So basically, you were applying to become a student at Temple, like, directly through the Japanese campus. Like, this wasn't a study abroad through a home university. Like, you were applying to move to Japan and just study directly at the Tokyo campus. Yeah,
exactly. So, like, I graduated community college, and I applied for, in the process of graduating for community college, applied for Temple University Japan campus, and it's direct transfer, like transfer here. Transferred all my credits, everything worked out. It was
so
perfect.
You had an associate's degree that was 2 years, right?
Yeah.
And so you applied to come here and continue on that. So it's like a 2 year program for your bachelor's.
Yeah.
Is that what? Okay.
Yeah. So
and you're in your second year now.
My last year. Yeah. Okay. I graduate this at the end of the semester.
Right. Okay.
So let me check some.
Yeah.
I thought it was recording. Okay.
We'd have to do all that over again.
Yeah.
I'd be like, fuck it, we're doing this next week.
Yeah, we'll come back next week. Whatever. Yeah. But yeah. So, what was I saying? I applied and I came directly here, and I'm about to graduate soon. And so then after I graduated community college, I came here for about like two semesters, and then it was just kind of like convoluted mess of like things that was going on with my life. And then, so for the summer semester, I decided to go back home and visit my family.
Right.
And
that was this last summer?
Two summers ago, okay. Like 2 years ago.
Okay.
I went back home to Atlanta just to stay there with the intention of just visit my family for a couple months. And then one summer semester ended up turning to a whole year. Okay. So I ended up staying back home because of like some issues that were going on. I had some financial issues or whatever.
Right.
So I stayed there. I saved up some money. And then I came back the next year, just continuing on my, on my degree.
Yeah. So,
and that was as of May of last year.
So. Yeah. If you don't mind me like sort of butting in and asking a question,
yeah.
I guess one thing that can be sort of discerned between our two stories is that for me, and I hope this wouldn't be taken the wrong way or anything, for me, it kind of just like made sense for me to come to Japan after undergrad. And because like you said, I kind of got lucky. Like I was nominated for the scholarship. Like things just kind of fell into place.
Yeah.
And I've had no breaks in between. Like I've been here for almost four complete years straight. But for you, you had like this year where you went home.
Yeah.
And you've mentioned to me that you've had to like take out student loans. There were some financial issues. So I think things maybe like fell into place even more easily for me than they did for you. But you really enjoy being here so much. And like really have a passion for Japan. What would you say? Like, what do you boil that down to? Like, why were you so motivated to come back even after you had to take your year back at home? Like, what is bringing you back here? And
I wasn't entirely certain, but it was like Tokyo has become sort of like a second home for me.
It feels like home. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like I feel comfortable here. I know all the good, you know, some good spots. I can have fun and whatever. You know, it's expensive, but it's a good life. But like you said, I just kept coming back. So, first time it was 5 days, my mom, my sister. Second time it was 2 weeks by myself.
Yeah.
Third time it was for a month with some friends.
Uh-huh.
The next time it was, I stayed here for by myself. I lived here for almost a year, months. And then I went back to Atlanta and then I came back here. And now I've been here for almost another year.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like back and forth and back and forth. But
yeah.
I think the reasons changed as time went on.
Yeah.
So I think my first visit was just, I was interested. Second visit was, I wanted to explore more by myself. I just wanted to have like, I was still young. I was like 19. So I wanted to see more.
I'd say by then you were probably fascinated.
Yeah.
Like you were interested in coming the first time before you'd ever been here.
Yeah.
Then you'd gotten a taste and you were
like,
for me at least after that first summer, I was like, I fucking have to go back.
Yeah.
You know, like there's so much, I have questions I need answered and like shit like that. You know?
Definitely. Like I was fascinated with the culture and the people, and I met so many nice people, you know, and people have obviously everyone has their own like stories about like, oh, what I hate about Japan and this and that. And what I love about Japan and that, isn't it? But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, I love Japan even for the things that like, you know, I don't like.
Yeah.
There's still so many things that I do like.
Right.
And
I feel the same way.
Yeah, you know, like in every country has its own problems.
Mm-hmm.
and every country place has its, you know, things that you love.
Yeah.
But I felt like, I think the reason I came back to live here again was just because I wanted to finish my degree.
Yeah. Well, after you start the program, yeah, that makes sense.
Like, I started the program with Japan, like Temple University, Japan campus. Yeah. And I had already like been here and have the credits. I didn't want to go through the trouble of transferring to another school. And
yeah,
I still love Japan. And also I was in a long distance relationship for a while with, you know, with a girl and it was like, was connected. And I said, I was going to get whatever, this and that. But it was kind of like a multitude of reasons, stemming from just interest and fascination and, you know, feeling like this place is home to having friends over here. Obviously the jiu-jitsu here, I love, you know,
it's fun.
Yeah, exactly.
We're gonna have to do an episode at some point about that for, you know, everyone we know who's also a practitioner, like
absolutely
what the scene is like here versus back home, but
like just jiu-jitsu or martial arts in general or something. Oh yeah,
that's for another time though.
Yeah, for another time. We're big jiu-jitsu heads for those who don't know, but we're into other stuff too.
Some stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. But yeah, I guess another question I had real quick was, this is kind of off topic, but I'm going somewhere with it. Like, could you have technically finished your degree at the Pennsylvania campus?
Yeah, I could have.
Okay. So that's just, I wanted to ask that because when you were talking about how, like, you know, I really wanted to finish the degree, but also I got the sense you were saying, like, I felt like I had unfinished business in Japan.
Yeah.
You know, just like being there as a foreigner in Japan. That reminded me of how I felt when I mentioned earlier, I almost moved back to the States after I finished my graduate program here.
Yeah.
I was looking for jobs and I wasn't quite good enough at Japanese yet to like really work in Japanese yet before I went to that language program.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was going to move to like San Francisco and do like business development, which is basically sales at like Silicon Valley Tech type shit. It was like a fellowship. Anyways, it sounded cool at the beginning, and then I realized I really don't want to do sales, and I don't really want to live in Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
So I started thinking more and more about it, and I luckily ended up getting accepted to this language program that kept me in Japan, and eventually ended up keeping me here even longer, because it gave me the language skills to, you know, work here as like a bilingual professional or whatever. But I remember, like, just feeling when I was really battling with myself, like, do I go back to the States for this job that seems to promise, like, a pretty good paycheck and blah, 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 but eventually I went with the option that didn't necessarily promise as much money, but just really felt like I'd be following my passion. And more than that, I was like, dude, I'm not ready to leave Japan.
Yeah.
Like I was here for 2 years as a graduate student and I was like, yeah, I could go home. Like I don't need to stay in Japan. I'm not like one of those guys who's like, I'm going to stay here forever.
Yeah.
You know, and I still don't feel that way, but I just felt like 2 years is not long enough. Like I've built this relationship with this country, this culture, I've learned the language up until the point I have, and I've made these friendships. Like, it just feels weird to bail.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
I just really didn't want to go. Yeah, I felt like my story in Japan wasn't over yet.
That's how I feel right now, kind of.
And we've talked about this. Like, that's why you're looking to stay here as well. And
yeah, so, like, originally I was just planning on, like, man, I'm just going to go back to Japan. Like, after that year back in Atlanta, I was like, I'm just going to go back to Japan. I'm going to graduate. And then I'll probably just leave and go to maybe another, either come back home to Atlanta or maybe travel a little bit.
Yeah.
But then the closer and closer my graduation date has been coming up.
Anxiety.
I have to think more and more like, oh, like, what am I actually going to do?
Yeah.
Like, where am I going to go? Who am I? This and that. And I thought, like, the closer and closer my graduation date is coming.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, man, I don't want to leave yet.
Yeah.
I want to stay here. And for whatever reason that is, I don't know.
It's, for me, it was the food, the convenience, convenience stores, and
dude.
Honestly,
I think for me it's like a variety of reasons. I don't think there's like one reason that's keeping me here.
Of course, it wasn't just the food for me.
Yeah, me
there's
too.
A million things you fall in love with.
Yeah, you know, it's like everyday things, and you just love. Obviously, it's the food. It's you can get any kind of food, and it's good quality food.
Uh-huh.
It's the safety. It's the jiu-jitsu, it's the, you know, working out, and it's,
we'll see, like, let me butt in again real quick. Those things you just listed, they're really not unique to Japan, but they are in their own way.
Yeah.
And like, also what you're getting at, I think, is that you become accustomed to a lifestyle, right? Like,
yeah.
You could have good food and jiu-jitsu and working out back home in the States,
I,
but you get used to doing it here. And even though it's like things that you could like have sort of anywhere theoretically, like, at least for us as Americans coming to Japan, like there's so many things that overlap with how westernized Japanese culture has become by 2020, or at least how Western and modern it is in Tokyo.
Yeah.
But there's still, it's not the same, you know, like doing it in Japan, like these things that we're used to and that we did have back in the States, it's different here. Like, cause it's in Japan, like it's with Japanese people. It's their own culture has influenced the way that these things exist here too.
Absolutely.
So for me, it's the same thing. It's like, I know I can still do jujitsu if I move back to the States, but I feel so close to my dojo mates here now.
For sure.
Where like when I first moved here, I could barely converse with them. You know, we spoke through jujitsu and like the limited English that they knew and the limited Japanese I knew. Now, you know, I can converse with them like more literally or explicitly or whatever, but like, just, yeah, the relationships you form with people and the relationships you form with establishments.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to pin down in terms of like specific words, like why here? Like, why do we like being here? Why do we feel like there's a story that we haven't finished yet? Like,
have you been to many other countries, or have you ever lived in another country?
I've never lived in another country. No, I lived in the state. I moved around the States quite a bit as a kid, but I just lived in the States till I was 21, finished college, and then I moved here. And I imagine that I could form this sort of relationship with another country and another culture, but I mean, again, I don't know how to say it better than this, but there is something that seems special about Japan.
Yeah.
Like, this is a crazy place.
You can go back home to, like, the States and just be like, yeah, I was living in Japan.
And people are like, whoa, yeah. It's different than if you say you were living in Italy. I mean, people might be like, whoa, what was that like? But still, like, I really think, like, Japan... like cool Japan, and like with pop culture and everything, like
for sure,
there's something to be said. Like tourism here has exploded.
Oh yeah, especially the Olympics coming up. Yeah, and
there's a lot.
Everything.
Yeah, it feels like there's now I'm pretty much used to it, and I'm sure you are too. Like I wake up and I don't think I'm in Japan. I wake up and I'm like I'm in my apartment.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go to work.
I got stuff to do.
Yeah, but sometimes you take a step back, and sometimes I think about it. Like, I zoom out in my head. Like, you know, like in a movie or a commercial or something, you'll see, like, somebody standing in, like, a city, and it zooms out. It's like a satellite commercial. Like
Bruce Almighty kind of
stuff. For, like,
a
cell phone. Yeah, like, for, like, a mobile carrier or something. Or, Bruce Almighty, whatever it might be. And then you see, like, a speck on, like, a map. And I think about, I'm like, okay, I grew up over here in the United States of America, and now I'm on the other fucking side of the world. Like, I'm on this part now. It's just wild, like... You do have those moments where you're like, wow, I'm over here. Like, how?
Yeah. Why? You know, I think another reason what's keeping me over here is because I've been so back and forth coming over here. I feel like, and, you know, I have friends back home that know me, that I'm living over here, that have been here for a while. And been back and forth. And so, like, I feel like I haven't achieved anything yet.
You're like, you're still working towards something here.
Yeah. I'm still working towards something here, and... I don't want to go back home and be like, yeah, well, I'm home. Like, what did you achieve, Ramsey? Like, did you get anything done? Sure. Okay, great. Now you got a degree, but do you even know Japanese? Like, I honestly, my Japanese is not as good as yours. Like, I can speak a little bit, but like, it's, my Japanese is pretty bad.
Well, so I'm sure, first of all, it's a lot better than it was when you first got here. And also, again, I want to remind you and whoever's listening, I've gotten very lucky about like with the programs I've gotten into, and like that's why I'm good at Japanese, because I had great teachers and I had the fortune of being able to like study it on a student stipend and stuff. But no, I know what you're saying. Like, if you were to go back to America tomorrow, I think if you just went back after 2 years with your degree, that's an accomplishment, man. Like, that's, it's hard to get a college degree.
Yeah.
Like, that, you should be proud of that, even if you were to go home after this program. But I totally understand what you're saying. Like, the fact that you came all the way here for it, it would almost feel weird to go back and be like, yeah, I went to Japan for a couple of years and did college there. Like, someone could ask, like, well, why didn't you just do it here?
Yeah, exactly.
But if you stay longer and you sort of feel like you develop an even deeper relationship with the country, come to understand more of it, then it seems like it will have made more sense in retrospect.
You know, I learned more of the language, and, you know, I maybe, like, I develop connections over here.
Yeah.
And I maybe get some working experience over here, because... you know, like, you know, the, you know, just working experience here is like, it's some of the hardest in the world, just to even work in Japan. Just the culture is just so, difficult. It's crazy.
That's definitely an episode for the future too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. And to be able, I feel like to be able to live that and understand that and experience that, and you go back to another company or somewhere in America, another job, and you go back and you say like, and you experience it, it'd be like nothing compared to like, what I imagine the Japanese country companies push on its own employees. like you said, it's for another podcast, but I guess basically what's drawing me here is obviously I love everything, you know, from the food to the culture, the jiu-jitsu to the lifestyle, whatever. But it's also another big thing is because I've been here for so long, I feel like I need to get something done over here. And I feel like there are opportunities
to make sense of why you came here in the first place.
Yeah. And I think there are like, the reason I say that is because I know that there are opportunities for me here in Tokyo, especially as a foreigner and especially with my background and with my experience and some of the people I know. And I know it's possible for me to, you know, really stick out and make an impact just because I stick out so much as a foreigner.
Yeah.
And I know that I could make that happen.
Yeah.
And it's something that maybe might be a little harder in America. Sometimes it's harder to stick out more.
And oh, yeah, just, well, you mean at least because it's such a multicultural place.
Right? Yeah, it's such a multicultural place, and you're like, I'm American, and, I'm American, too, and I'm American, too.
But, like, the fact that we're foreigners in Japan means there's actually unique experiences that we could potentially capitalize on here because we're, you know, we're not Japanese. Like, and, I mean, you're doing that right now, right? Like, you mentioned wanting to work here in, like, a full-time sense, but you are doing part-time English teaching right now.
Yeah, and that's two jobs right now.
What's the second one?
So I work part-time at an Eikaiwa, which is an English teaching place.
Right.
And then part-time at a restaurant.
Oh, okay, yeah. Where what's the restaurant you're working
at? It's a Tiger Gyoza. It's in Hiro.
Oh, dude. Okay. I hope this isn't an appropriate, like, sidetrack. Yeah, because anyone who's living in Tokyo, maybe they want to hear about this. But I've never brought it up with you, even though I always want to, because I know that you train in Hiro and stuff.
Yeah.
I fucking love Tiger Gyoza in Hiro. specifically the Hiro location.
Because
I've been to a different Tiger Gyoza near like Shinokubo and Shinjuku, and they don't have the big, the giant gyoza. Do you guys still have that?
The giant gyoza. I honestly don't really pay attention to like the specific menu items.
Really?
Because what I do in the kitchen is
that place
like,
is good.
Because I work in the kitchen, right?
Okay, okay.
But like I'm like chopping up vegetables and doing like mixing meat together with like other like chopping vegetables and meat and just mixing.
Dude, good for you. You're hustling.
It's all right.
Yeah.
No, I've been there for a while. Like since I first moved here.
Really?
When I first came to Tokyo, and I was actually training at the Hiro Dojo.
Yeah.
I passed by a sign for Mensetsu for an interview.
Yeah.
And I was like, huh. I walked inside and did an interview in Japanese. And
wow. Dude, so your Japanese is better than you're giving yourself credit. Like,
I don't know.
I think you're, if you don't mind me saying, I think you're one of these people who, like, you haven't quite, like, studied it, like, in a purely academic sense to the point where you feel like you're really good. But I think you've been here long enough and you're culturally aware and invested enough to where your conversational skills are probably better than you give yourself credit.
Yeah.
Like, if you can get through an interview in Japanese and they gave you the job...
Yeah.
Like, you must not have just been saying, like, random nonsense, you know? Like,
yeah. I think, maybe.
But I just wanted to say, I actually found out about Tiger Gyoza because David Garmo, he's a friend of mine from Michigan.
Shouts out.
Through Jiu-Jitsu, shouts out. He came to Tokyo, and he was training and teaching at your academy at Carpe Diem in Hiro. And one day I came and trained with you guys, and he's like, let's get some food at this awesome gyoza place. And I was like, fuck, we got these like giant gyoza.
Yeah.
They're like big ones. And we got the karaage, which is super good.
I have to make the karaage every single time.
Dude, it's so good there. It's like really,
I can tell you the recipe. I know the whole thing by heart.
I can tell at Tiger Gyoza, they use like a lot of, mirin, like the Japanese sort of like sweet. What is mirin? It's sort of like,
they don't use any mirin in there.
They use, oh really?
So
is it just like potato starch?
Yes.
Okay.
Katsukuriko.
A lot of potato starch in that.
I can tell you the whole recipe. It's not that complicated, but they do have like ginger and like,
It's so good there, man.
Yeah. They have like ginger and, ginger and garlic inside of there. And then they have oyster sauce.
Oh, nice.
And then I think that's like probably a big part of it. They have soy sauce. They have,
I love their karaage, man.
Dude, katsukuriko, the potato starch.
Yeah.
And also this like flour kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then I just mix it up. It's kind of stupid, but like, yeah, that's, yeah. I have to make that all the time.
Anyways, yeah.
But it's freaking, yeah, it's so good. And I want to make it for myself one day because I know how good it is.
Dude, I'll come over and if you're cooking, I'll help. Yeah.
Let's do it. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, dude.
Well, yeah, I have that job and and I've been working there since like when I first moved here.
Yeah.
Ever since I was working, training at the Hiro Old Dojo.
Mm-hmm.
And then I worked there for like 8 months while I was here. And then I left and then I came back and I got the job again. And then Now I got this Eikaiwa English teaching job as well.
Yeah.
And then last semester I had an internship. So I'm always like super busy.
What was the internship?
Embassy of Afghanistan.
Oh, that's right. I knew you were doing that. I saw on like Facebook.
And yeah.
I think I talked to you about it once. That's super cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You were doing that. And you're not Afghani though.
I'm not, no.
But you got they gave you the job.
Well, it was in connection with my university, so they have, okay. I'm studying international affairs, I'm an international affairs major.
Yeah.
So, one of the things that I could do as my, internships was at the embassy of Afghanistan here in Tokyo.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
So. I was, considering looking at, like, some embassy jobs and internships at one point, too, because I also did, like, international affairs, and, you know, one thing that people do with that degree is diplomacy, but...
Exactly.
I don't know about you, it ended up... I was real with myself at some point. I was like, I'm not going to be a diplomat, but I can't do that. But the embassy jobs seem cool, though. I was looking at, like, jobs at embassy for the U.S. and But some of them also, I remember seeing, like, it looked like they just wanted, like a kitchen manager or, like, a party planner or something like that. Like, someone to greet people.
But I mean, that's essentially what my internship was. I did, like, a lot of those stuff. I mean, I did some cool stuff. Like, I did some research for the diplomats for, like, economic stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah. And... But a lot of things did involve just, like, greeting people and working in the kitchen and hosting events or whatever. But I did have some, like, cool experiences. I learned a lot. I had to do some projects. But,
I've had a lot of experiences in, like, 2 years here.
I've had a couple.
Maybe. Yeah.
But...
Seems like it.
Yeah. But, man. I think my experience in Japan has been very unique in the sense that, back and forth and back and forth, and I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and I never have one interest. I'm trying to like achieve, I don't know what I'm trying to achieve. Like, I have this podcast and I have my other podcast that I make.
But, you want to shout it out real quick?
Yeah, shouts out to my podcast, The Blurred Line. It's on YouTube and Spotify and iTunes,
yeah, whatever.
Yeah, iTunes, whatever.
And that's one that you do, go ahead and say real quick, like, you do it about, you know.
Yeah.
For people who are, like, bicultural.
And, yeah, so I'm half Algerian and half Colombian.
Right.
And I'm American. So, like, I always have this identity of being split down the middle and never having one specific identity.
Yeah.
And I realize that's becoming so common around people, not just in America,
mm-hmm.
but also around the world.
Yeah.
And so being here in Japan at Temple University, being in an American university in Japan, I meet so many other people like that on my campus. And I'm like, it'd be so cool to talk to all these people about their experiences growing up.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know... So I just kind of do a podcast where I just talk to people and ask them what their backstory is and, you know, who they are, how their identity has influenced who they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a variety of different people that come on there, but
it's another thing that you do here. That's pretty cool though.
Just for fun.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. You ever thought about doing like journalism?
I thought about it, but I don't know how interested I would be in it.
I guess it's probably late to change your major, but it just seems like, you know, you really like, finding out about people's stories.
For sure. I enjoy learning about people and, I mean, I have like ultimate life goals of, you know, doing things within diplomacy or within, but it's not something I see myself doing now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean... Well, I mean, I guess, like, maybe what you can take from this whole episode is, you know, or getting to know who we are before we go into other episodes, discussing different things, is that there's not just one way to come to Japan.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many different ways. And so many people will tell you, oh, man, I just got lucky, you know, it's just that. But sure, you got lucky, but you got lucky because you put your foot in the door.
Mm-hmm.
You inserted yourself into something, and then one by one domino chips will fall, and before you know it, you'll be living here. You can live anywhere. It's just people get so scared and paralyzed about coming to Japan.
Yeah. And you know, I don't think this is something that just applies to Japan. Like, obviously this podcast is going to be about Japan, but If I could be like a little bit corny and say, like, if anyone were to ever draw anything somewhat inspirational from listening to our stories, if they have the potential to do so, like, if anyone who listens to this thinks like they would want to live abroad in any country, but that just seems like a daunting task, man, and we'll talk about this on another episode. Like, I don't know about you, but my first week in Japan after moving here, and I've mentioned this to you before, it's like the hardest week of my life. Okay? It was so
For
fucking
sure.
hard, but now I feel so comfortable here. We've both mentioned already, like, it feels like home. Like, I love this place, and I'm so glad I've had the opportunity to come and live abroad. And yeah, I would just really encourage anyone who's thinking about coming here or going anywhere else outside like their native country, but might be having like misgivings about it, fucking go for it, because it's such a rewarding experience. Yeah, especially if you, you know, would put yourself out there and make special connections, like immerse yourself in a job or a degree, learn the language, whatever. You know, it's worth
Absolutely.
it. Yeah.
You know, it's just about that first step, and eventually you can come here.
Yeah.
And hopefully, I mean, how far are we into this podcast,
Who
actually?
knows?
53
5
minutes.
hours? Oh, okay. Nice.
But I mean, you know, just I mean, if you just take that first step, and eventually you'll be here, and you'll have your own hurdles, and it might be harder in a different sense. You know, I've had to pull out loans, I've had to save up money, I've had to work like multiple jobs, but at the end of the day, I'm happy I did it, and I met some really amazing people. I have some amazing experiences, and hopefully, you know, throughout this podcast, we can, you know, show that to people, like how we'll talk about, you know, food and food.
Food, food.
No, we'll talk about more than just that, but
Think this maybe is like a good like opportunity to say for anyone who ends up listening to this, and sorry I keep clearing my throat, I'm like getting over a cold, but if there's something that you want to hear us talk about in particular, I don't know about you, I posted on Facebook. Yeah, you did
I
too.
did too.
About like, and I got a bunch of responses already. We could
I
even
think you got more responses than me.
I got a bunch of
Nobody said
responses.
nothing to me.
Really? Yeah, I don't know, man.
People just liked my status and they didn't offer anything.
I'm on that Facebook game. Like, people already gave me a bunch of ideas about stuff they want to hear about, and we can even look at it now or another episode. But anyone listening to this, if you have
Oh,
like either of our personal contacts and you have specific questions, like, because I think we both want this to be a source of entertainment
Oh,
and
yeah.
or information, depending on
Yeah.
who's listening and what they're hoping to get out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like there's just so many opportunities, and people in Japan are always looking for like new faces and new, like, you know, just, you know, it may seem like, you know, Japanese people wouldn't want, you know, more foreigners to come over here.
Depends who you ask.
Yeah, it depends who you ask. But if you are respectful of the culture, if you are willing to learn the language and the culture and the people about the people, then, and just friendly, dude, you can do anything you want over here because you stick out like a sore thumb just the way you look. And then the moment you speak Japanese, like, oh,
Oh my God,
sugoi,
yeah.
just from saying like two words. But if you can actually speak the language and continue off that conversation of surprise, then you can really, you know, create something for yourself over here.
I actually had a funny thing happen to me on my way here, back to my apartment to meet you. We're recording in my apartment for anyone who doesn't know. But I was with my girlfriend getting some food after training, and then I walked her back to the station. I was over at Shinjuku Station, and I was on the west exit side where like there's always a lot of people like soliciting, and there's like political rallies sometimes. Like, Shinjuku West exit's kind of a gnarly spot if you don't know it. But I was walking back, and I was still in that area, and this fucking guy comes up to me, and you know, I'm kind of embarrassed to say, but when random Japanese people come up to me, especially if I'm like listening to something in my headphones, and they're like, "Hello, hello," like they just like start sort of barking at me in English. I can tell it's like they're trying to maybe like practice English or something. Like, it's not always sinister or anything, but it's just I was annoyed for whatever reason. I was like, "What the fuck does this guy want?" And also, there's that egotistical part of me that's like, "I speak Japanese. Why is like this person's gonna make me speak English with them, but they probably suck at English." Anyways, that's I
I know
shouldn't
exactly what you mean.
I shouldn't be sounding like this much of an asshole about it, but
No. I mean, dude, you live in any country for a certain point, and I mean, obviously we'll go into that kind of topic for a while, but obviously you have your different moods when you're here. Like, some days you want to be treated like equal, or some days.
Yeah, you know, some days you really want to be treated like just a Japanese person, even though we're not. Like, but you just don't want to be treated like a foreigner. And then other days you want people to acknowledge that you're foreign.
It's utilize weird. Your gaijin card.
Yeah.
Utilize that foreigner pass.
Yeah, yeah. You know? It's funny how that happens. But anyway, long story short, this guy came, it's like an older guy. He's like in a suit. And he's like, hello, like, you American? I'm like, yeah. He's like, me Japanese. I'm like, okay, cool, like, I could have guessed that. And I was like, oh, wakarimashita. Like, you know, I dropped some Japanese just to let him know, like, we can do this faster. Like, you can speak your native language. And he's like, oh, like, nihongo hanasemasu ka? Like, and I was like, yeah, I speak Japanese. And then the next thing he said was, I'm Christian.
Like, oh, I know who you're talking about.
Wait, really?
Yeah, no, not specifically the person, but like the group. Like, I got stopped in front of the Shinjuku entrance with these two older ladies.
They're like religious solicitors.
Yeah, do you want to come to my church?
Exactly. That's So he spoke a little bit more English, and then he realized, like, oh, I can actually just speak Japanese with them. And so then he starts going, like, you know, I'm from this kyokai, this church. Like, do you want to, if you have time, you want to come now? I was like, I'm going to meet someone.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, in my head, I was like, I'm just going to say that, but I actually was coming to meet you.
Yeah.
But I was like, just trying to tell him anything. And he's like, oh, well, you know, if you have time another time, I can give you my card. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to have time. I just told him, like, you know, like, 一般的にあまり時間ない, like, kind of thing. And I felt bad about it, but also, like, I have no interest.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, shit like that. I don't know why I brought that up.
But, yeah, no, I know. I mean, I think it's just different aspects.
I guess just like being treated, like called out as a foreigner. You know, like he went for me because I guess he was looking for like foreigners to bring to his
brainwash
church or something. Or, who knows?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of different, like, I mean, things like that here. And you'll feel like a certain way here. Like, you know, like it's like there's like waves to living here in Tokyo.
Yeah.
I mean, different parts of Japan are different. Like, every city's going to be different.
Yeah.
So, I guess everything that we talk about in this podcast is mainly going to be from our experience living in Tokyo.
Yeah.
Right? But it goes in waves, you know. It's a big city. I mean, it's the biggest metropolitan...
It's huge.
...area in the world.
Yeah.
And, like, dude, I went to Mitake-san last week.
Yeah.
The Mitake Mountain.
Yeah, I know.
And
I love that place.
You could see Tokyo.
That's still technically Tokyo, by the way.
Yeah.
It's Oktama.
Yeah.
But that's technically part of Metropolitan. And it's like all the way out there. I love that area.
You can see the entire everything.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's where I live?
Yeah.
It looks like a giant, just, it looks like dystopian.
It's really not the city at all, but it's technically considered part of Metro Tokyo. Yeah.
Exactly. And you're just like so like baffled by it. But, you know, like, you're living in this middle of this giant metropolitan area.
Yeah.
And obviously you're going to have like roller coasters of different kind of emotions, but like what, you know, like good things and bad things and people you meet and people, you know, so, but, you know, overall, I think, it's such a, you know, I guess blessing or an honor to be able to, you know, be here and kind of like work our way up to a point where we are.
Yeah. It's good to look at it that way. I think like, just like you were getting at, like, I think, as with other places too, but especially in a place that can be such a roller coaster like Tokyo, like it's this crazy big city, and then it can ironically feel so lonely, specifically because of how big it is. Like if you're not having a good day or week or month,
you can literally like, just not say anything, put your hoodie down. Just...
Yeah. That's another thing about Tokyo that's so weird. It's like there's so many fucking people here, but some days it's just like everyone's just like, I imagine New York can be like this too, but like just, you get on the subway, everyone's looking at their phone.
Yes,
no one's talking to each other.
It's kind of like a lonely, it's cold atmosphere at times.
Tokyo in particular.
Yes,
Tokyo Japan is not, like, you know, you've been to Kyoto, Osaka.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Tokyo's known in Japan for being tsumetai, like, for being cold. People are a little bit more uptight. And that's not to say that both of us don't know really awesome, warm people.
Oh, yeah,
but
absolutely.
But this city has a little bit of a colder feeling than, like, Osaka or, you know, Hokkaido or fucking Okinawa, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's aspects of it, and, like, you, every day, you know, I guess the biggest thing I can say from that is find your niche, find your group.
Yeah.
Like, ours is jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
You know, we found, like, our group is, like, we no matter what kind of feelings we have towards anything, we go to jiu-jitsu, hang out with our friends, and we're happy again.
I'd say it's definitely a backbone for me as well.
Yeah.
But also just like friends I have not from jiu-jitsu, like, I think it's really important when you go to a new place, like if you're going to live abroad, like you got to immerse yourself in the culture and try to hang out with locals, and not just fall back on other foreigners. But it's also important to have friends who are maybe come from where you do and, you know, make you feel like you have a part of home with you here. And
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I think so too. But I think, I think that's pretty much everything about us, though. Like, we trained jiu-jitsu, we came to Japan because we were interested in,
Because of Goku.
yeah,
No,
because of
Goku and Naruto taught me
And
how to work hard.
then we ended up staying here because of the people and the food and the culture
Yeah.
and the jiu-jitsu.
It's a wonderful place, man. Like,
Yeah,
there's de
it's
even
great.
as hard as it is to say, there's definitely something about Japan and Tokyo. And I think we tried our best to get to the bottom of it in this one
Yeah.
episode, but like, I'm sure if I had to go to some war-torn country, I wouldn't. Like, it's not just like any foreign country you can go to, you'd feel that
Yeah.
way. Like, and we'll try to maybe get to the bottom of that feeling that we have
Absolutely.
for Japan
Absolutely.
more in future episodes.
Yeah. And just for y'all to know, maybe, probably didn't say at the beginning, but my name is Ramsey
Oh,
Gomez.
yeah. And I'm Jordan Roth.
And we are the Brokios.
Brokios, yeah. Two
Two
bros in
bros.
Tokyo.
Yeah.
It's the best name we could think of,
Yeah,
so.
I think those you came up with it, so I think it's the best
Yeah.
one.
And I gotta give credit to my, I have some good friends that it was the name of a group chat before it was a podcast. But
Humble beginnings.
yeah. Shout out to Connor and Val and Anna and Toby.
Yeah, all those guys,
Yeah.
Connor and Val, Anna,
Yeah.
whatever.
Cool. That was fun, man.
Awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Thanks, bro.
Good shit.
Yeah, dude. So I don't know how we should end it, like just like that, just
Yeah.
pound it
I think
out. We're
people will,
done.
I think, I hope people will enjoy that.
Hell yeah. Thanks,
That
guys.
was really fun.
Yeah, man.